You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, the early settlers, in fact, the very first Chinese to settle New Zealand was a person called Apto Hopton. And he absconded. He was on the ship and he absconded to Nelson and just stayed on shore. But he was not really part of the Chinese community because he got sort of very strongly integrated within the normal mainstream community and actually married a white Kiwi lady. But a bigger group of Chinese came to New Zealand when they were invited by the Otago Chamber of Commerce in about 1965-66, because after the initial gold rush in Otago, many of the white kind of miners moved to other places because they rapidly ran out of easy-to-pick gold. And to maintain the economy in Dunedin, which was booming at that stage, they invited the Chinese from the Victoria goldfields to come over here to work the mining areas further, gold mining areas further. So that's how they first came to New Zealand. And, you know, there was up to about 4,000 or so there in the late 1860s. And then they found gold in the West Coast. So they moved over, the Chinese moved over there at that stage.
Cool.
So
yep.
After the gold ran out, of course, lots of them wanted to stay here to try and earn a living, to send money back home to maintain their wives and families, mainly just males over here. So they spread out to a lot of other occupations where they didn't need to be employed by mainstream Kiwis, because there was a very strong anti-Chinese feeling, and that's the start of the poll tax. There was a lot of lobbying around, and they implemented a poll tax in the 1880s at £10 per person, but that was increased in the 1990s to £100 per person, and it's the start of the poll tax in New Zealand. And similar kind of legislation was passed around the whole Pacific Rim, like USA, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, to keep the Chinese out of these countries, because they were considered to be undesirable aliens.
Go bring back to the Heritage Trust Fund.
Well, let's find out how that was happened. So, you know, this law was very, and there was other anti-Chinese legislation over the years, and it was not finally repealed until 1944. The poll tax was not actually implemented, although it was still in legislation, after about 1934. But there was also heavy restriction on women coming into New Zealand, more than men. And the way they restricted the number of Chinese was have a limit of how many Chinese could be on a boat per ton of cargo. So we had all these restrictions, which really didn't help Chinese set up a settled family life in New Zealand until in 1937 they allowed about 250 mothers, wives actually of Chinese who are already in New Zealand, and about 250 children to come over here. And when they got amnesty of having to return to China, they were granted permanent residence. So Chinese could not come naturalised in New Zealand until 1952. Now, Helen Clark, after a lot of work done by the New Zealand Chinese Association, having got this book produced by Nigel Murphy in 1996, I think it was, and they lobbied to the government, and that's ended up in the historic apology by Prime Minister Helen Clark in 2002 at their Chinese New Year celebration, as apologies for the past discrimination against Chinese in New Zealand. And after that apology, they set up a working group, which then worked out some form of recompense for the Chinese. And that's how the Chinese Baltic Heritage Trust came to be formed in 2004 with a seeding grant of $5 million, which seems very low compared to what was given to the treaty, through the Treaty Waitangi, to all the Maori tribes. But anyway, that's the basis, the money that's used by the Chinese Baltic Heritage Trust to distribute grants. Now, it's a very tight objective. They're there to preserve history and also help preserve the traditional language, which is Cantonese. So there's only two main elements of the objectives. And it's primarily for the benefit of the Poltex descendants.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. So my question is, why is it important for New Zealanders, not just Chinese, to remember this period of history?
Well, you know, it's been very suppressed over the years, and so therefore we're conforming with the objectives in trying to increase the amount of research done of the Chinese history, because a lot of people who were subject to this discrimination have passed on. So we're going to get many kind of hearsay type stories. But we've started this process, and the history of the Market Gardeners was done by their association with support from the Poltex. We also supported the history of the New Zealand Chinese Association, which started up the whole process and represents, through 14 branches, the Chinese throughout New Zealand. And now we've started a series. It's just been released early this year, a 400-500 page two-volume book by the fruit shops, which is called The Fruits of Our Labour, Chinese Fruit Shops in New Zealand. And we currently have commissioned work to be done on the laundries, churches, merchants and the war refugees. So we've got a very big agenda of commissioned works to ensure that we try and capture many of these stories of the social history of the early Chinese, you know, before it gets lost in the whole fog of memory of the early settlers.
And my final question is, with many Chinese new immigrants arriving in New Zealand each year, do you think the work or the commissioned works that the Poltex Heritage Trust Fund can help integrate them with the whole New Zealand society as a whole?
Well, I think it does, because as you know, I mean, most of us New Zealand born, or quite a few of us New Zealand born, except we have now been, I would estimate that New Zealand born or people who've been in here maybe 30 years or more only form about 15% of the current Chinese population in New Zealand. So there has been a widespread influx from mainland China and other parts of Asia of Chinese people. But, you know, I think it should give them a good understanding. As our PM, Raymond Hua, says, Chinese got to thank the early Chinese settlers for paving the way for greater acceptance by Chinese in New Zealand. You know, and we kind of had enduring a lot to get to this stage. Now, you know, we welcome anybody who's got an interest in this thing, because one of our researchers who's doing the merchant's book is a lady called Phoebe Lee, who is a recent migrant who studied Auckland University and in China, She's got a PhD, and she is so interested in New Zealand Chinese history and passionate about it that we got her to write the book on the merchants. So she's currently doing that. That it is open to people who really are interested in these sort of historical research, but it needn't be kind of Poltex descendants or any Chinese per se, because to do the laundries book, we've got a experienced researcher called Joanna Bolu, and she's, a white New Zealander. So, that's a situation. So if any of your students in that feel like they got an interest in this, they can certainly apply or find out more about what the Chinese Poltec Heritage Trust does.
95 BFM Podcasts. 95 BFM is supported by our listeners. Sign up for a Simplicity B card at 95bfm.com/signup and support independent media from $4.20 a month.